おいで。
Yeah. Welcome everyone to episode number 12 of WP Late Night. I'm Ryan, joined as usual by Dre and Brad. Also the special guest host tonight, John Hawkins, better probably known as Vegas Geek on Twitter and the co-founder of Nine Seeds. Hello everyone.
Go Kings go.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Ah, my pleasure. This has been at least 11 episodes late.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say this has been a dream of mine for years. Like, I'm waiting for the first guest to say that.
For at least 11 episodes.
For at least 11 episodes, which has been almost a year.
Well, it's good to have, you know, some quasi-West Coast love. You know, he's about 3.5 hours from me on the general. So it's good to have a little bit of West Coast power in the house. Go Kings, go.
This is going to be the hockey podcast, I'm pretty sure.
Is that why we're all here?
I'll just drop hockey facts like along the way. Did you know?
I will preempt you and say I probably did not know.
I absolutely didn't know.
Got it.
That's the one with the puck, right?
Not if you listen to the Los Angeles newscasters. They screw
what
that
up. They call it.
The ball. They ask. There's a highlight. It's great. I'll send it to you. Oh.
And this is a good time to mention that Dre is out of town, and we're reconnecting to him because I think he's coming from a hotel, so we might have intermittent.
Hi there. I'm Dre Armada.
Intermittent drops with him. Luckily, we have Brad on the soundboard to cover those gaps.
So. Yeah, you know, when he drops, I'll just.
I'm Dre Armada.
I really need to get, like, every possible word combination in Dre's voice so that I could kind of. We could just get rid of Dre.
Mm-hmm.
We could have a little robo Dre. Drebot.
Ah, there he is. You need to disable those Skype sounds. Hi, Dre.
Hi.
Okay.
Don't worry, we weren't making fun of you.
As well, you should.
Just a little bit. Somebody is echoing a little bit, or we've got like the feed's coming back through for somebody.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. I accept
this
your
is the most
Dre.
Polished podcast in the history of podcasts, I can promise.
Hey, actually.
That'll be my next blog post.
Do you mind if I just reschedule for like episode 24?
We're still working out the kinks. It's only 11. Come on.
WordCamp Orange County happened. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
I know you did, because it's in our show notes. But it's a nice conversational way to jump
OC.
Into it.
Before we kick off into that, we need to talk about what we're sipping on.
Oh, well, forgive me for jumping ahead. I am on a Fat Tire Amber Ale right now.
I was going to say, you better not pause too long, because I'm not leaving that alone.
I was going to say, well, no, what are you drinking?
Oh.
That was an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll be the slacker and say that I'm drinking Michelob Ultra.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go. That's well, great. I'm not. You know, I have a diet Duff, so I'm also watching the calories.
I'm rocking a Peroni Nastrozzudo.
Ooh,
it's delicious.
Exotic.
Good stuff. And back to WordCamp Orange County.
Wow, that was quick and easy.
That was. That was.
You
straight
know,
to the point.
Just looking at John drinking that Michelob Ultra Light makes me lose weight. It's brilliant. OC was amazing. Another great follow up. I've been. This is my. You know, they've had an event three times. This is my third event, and they killed it again. Never ceases to amaze me how awesome of a camp they put together. The guys over at Pixel Jar and Ad Sanity, Brandon and Jeff. Again, they just they've helped us out. The first WordCamp San Diego we put together, they did a good job in kind of guiding us along the way and kind of some of the things to expect as you go through the whole process and stuff. And I don't know that I ever want to miss an OC. Great speakers, and the after party was awesome. The speaker sponsor social was put together well. I don't know what else to put there. A lot of WordPress awesomeness.
Did you see Austin Passy's collection of photos from Orange County? I was just looking at those earlier today.
I have not seen those.
I just dropped it in the chat room.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah,
Frosty
does some really cool photo stuff. So I got to see him.
Dre likes to Dre likes to avoid all evidence and photos of any WordCamp that he's at because you never quite know what's going to show up on it.
Well, no.
As do I.
No, one thing I'm fortunate of is that Austin doesn't take many pictures of me, so that's a good thing.
You know, the shirts, the shirt and the logo on the website, if you just look at, search WordCamp OC, go to the website, the logo is awesome. Like, it's, and I saw it was on the shirts too. Like, it's really clever. It's basically, what do you call those? It reminds me of those puzzles, like those slide puzzles. I forget what you call them.
Yeah, and that's what they were. And that's Robert from, Nine Studios in San Diego, Orange County. Yeah, see, I'm plugging San Diego, and it's not even a San Diego event. He also assisted with putting this together, and the designs were brilliant. They had stickers, all the signage, the T-shirts. Probably right now, my favorite all-time WordCamp T-shirt. Really kick-ass.
Yeah, if there, nice. If anyone happens to have an extra one and wants to send them my way, I'd be more than happy to wear it on the show. Large.
Oh. Nice.
You like how I did that? I also like their follow-up post. So if you go to the website, the latest post, as of right now anyways, is a speaker slide recap. And it's just a really slick, clean layout. It shows all the speakers' pictures, the name of the presentation, a link to the details of the presentation, and then a link to the slides. Like, that's an extremely easy to follow, easy to share even, recap of to go through all the slides and stuff. So that's really cool, too. So, they've done a lot of cool things on here that I actually haven't seen before.
And coming off of, last half of a camp, that's the number one thing everybody wants to know. So that's awesome they got that out that fast.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, all together, an awesome event, and I look forward to next year.
As always. There's some other WordCamp stuff happening this week. You guys, and when I say you guys, well, are all three of you going to be in New York, or is it just Brad and Dre?
Dre will not be there.
Dre will not be there. You're in New York, but not for that.
That's correct. I leave Thursday night.
Gotcha.
I will be there. I will be the WP Late Night representative at WordCamp
delegate.
New York. So.
The delegate.
Delegate. Track me down if you're going to be there. I'm actually speaking twice. They really like to overwork me at WordCamps, I'm telling you, because I'm easy.
Someone's birthday, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, and it's my birthday, so this might actually be my last show ever. there's a good chance I will die. So the after party will be out on my birthday, which is going to be pretty special. So I'm counting on all my friends to make sure I make it out of there okay. You know who you are. It's going to be an awesome event. I'm speaking, I don't know how or why, but I'm speaking first thing on Saturday on WordPress security, which will be cool.
Who'd you piss off, dude?
I know. That's like, you know me?
Yeah, I know it's your birthday, and we're going to have you speak not only once, but twice. Guess what? You're out at 0600.
Well, you know what? It'll keep me honest on Friday, so I got to watch myself. But I was speaking again on Sunday, but it'll be later in the day on an intro to plugin development. So I'm excited because I haven't been – well, they didn't have one last year, and the year prior I had a conflict. I don't remember what, but I was at something else that weekend, so I couldn't go. So I'm excited to be back. It's been 3 years since I've been there. I actually spoke about security 3 years ago, so it'll be cool. Good event. It's always big. A lot of big names. I mean, it's a who's who on the East Coast of WordPress. So it's going to be great. Looking forward to it.
So I'm actually curious. Do you, and this goes for, I guess, all of us, because I know we've all presented once or twice at a WordCamp before. Do you tend to just kind of keep the same slides and slightly update them? Or how often do you go back through and, revamp the whole slide deck?
For me, it depends, on the presentation. A presentation like security, it's not one of those presentations you have to...
It sounded like you just combined the word Shakira and security. Into security.
Shakira?
Hey, security. Hey, send a screen cap to the IRC channel of what you're looking at right now, bro.
Hey, you know what? These tips don't lie, baby. So I need to work that into a slide.
Don't.
No, what was I talking about? Now I'm just thinking
your
about
slide deck.
Shake your head, baby.
No, like security tips, like there, obviously you need to go in and refresh them and update your screenshots and look at what new things you can do. Maybe new plugins you can recommend, new security tips, but overall, I mean, a lot of the tips are a lot of the common sense tips, keep WordPress up to date, change passwords often, lock down your folders, things like that. So it's not one of those presentations you have to revamp every time because a lot of it doesn't change. You just want to kind of freshen it up a bit. And that's one of these. I've said it, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. It's one of these presentations that should be at every WordCamp. You know, it should be given by someone who's really been vetted. It's one of those presentations that, I mean, there's a lot of bad information and a lot of bad information that being presented at WordCamps around security. So it's an important topic. Dre, you've done security a lot. We've even done security together. Security.
Right. I don't even want to know what happened. But you're absolutely right. The awareness piece around the security thing needs to be at every event. I think it is imperative for people to understand what's kind of going on out there. The vetting is crucially important. So there needs to be a level of consistency around all security topics that are put out at WordCamp events. I will tell you, yeah, I've spoken about it quite a bit. I don't typically change it up too much either. I did this year. I flipped it up a bit more statistics around some of the things to just really drive the point home around some of the infections and things that are happening. Brad and I got to speak together, which was amazing. I know that he's given it, but there's a new bar set. I tell you what, and I think there's some of the folks over at OC are in the room here. Tony Perez Box from Security gave a security discussion this weekend at OC, and by far the best security discussion I've heard at any WordCamp. It was amazing. He had the crowd going, and it was brilliantly orchestrated. So
yeah, I'm anxious to see the video on that.
Yeah, we need.
He was showing me his slides prior to the event, get some feedback and stuff, and I just talked to him today about it and said it went really well. So I'm anxious to see the playback. It sounded like they recorded all the videos or all the sessions there, right?
Yeah. The cool thing is what he did was exactly that. From the vetting perspective, he knew that it was important to do that. He reached out. I know to you, Brad. I talked and went through the slides a couple of times. He reached out to Andrew Nason, Mark Jakewith. A lot of the big names in the security portion of the WordPress world kind of looked at it, gave some pointers and stuff. And man, I'll tell you what, he killed it, dude. I have no other way to put it than just fantastic information. And he made it really fun. It's a really dry topic at times. And I think that his comedic value definitely put it in perspective. And I think a lot of people gained value from it.
That's awesome.
No, I agree. That's definitely a topic that should be at absolutely every single WordCamp. I've always harped about the fact like the WordPress 101 should be first and at every single WordCamp, and then security should be second. Like that should just be the morning, should be those two topics, and then you kind of move into whatever else you want to talk about. But
how about absolutely. We put an afternoon? Afternoon would be good.
Yeah, right after lunch when you look around the crowd as you're speaking and there's like, you know, you see count at least 10 people just bobbing their head.
Nodding off.
Everyone's got that full belly and they're all tired. That's always fun.
That's a good 101. I think that would be a genuinely strong idea, being that if you look at the demographic at WordCamps, you do get a lot of people that are just becoming immersed in it, really starting to learn what WordPress does, the power that it harnesses. I think that'd be a really cool concept to see, John.
Yeah, definitely. Make it happen.
I'm on that like white on rice, brother. Yes.
Done.
So Dre, I'm curious, because I kind of cut you off during the pre-show because you started talking about Blog World, which is where you are right now. I want to hear more about it.
It's fantabulous.
Yeah, that's a
next topic. All righty then.
I've never been, and you're there. I want to know more about it.
No, you know what? It's not what I was expecting this year. I'm in New York. It's here at the Javits Center in Manhattan. Great venue. I've been here for other conferences and stuff over the years. I felt like there was like 8 people there for day one. I'm obviously exaggerating considerably, but it just, you know, for the size of the venue. For the amount of tracks and sessions that they had set up, they had 3 or 4 running at 9 o'clock, but they were running, I don't know, between 6 and 10 sessions. I think that's around how many tracks they have concurrently throughout the day till 5 o'clock until the keynote started. And the place, you know, was only half full. They're just didn't seem like a lot of traffic. I expected a lot more out of it, I guess. So day one, not amazing from a traffic perspective. Some of the sessions were really cool. Some were not. Tomorrow the show floor opens. WordPress.com has a booth there. I know Headway Themes has a booth there. I don't think there's any other WordPress specific vendors in the house, but it should be good. The numbers that were being thrown around today We're somewhere in the ballpark of 10,000 visitors through the show floor throughout the day tomorrow and Thursday. So we'll see how it goes, and I'll be able to report back next week on it a bit. But so far, maybe not so good.
Are there any WordPress-specific topics?
No, I didn't see a single one specific to that. I know that Frederick Towns is speaking around optimization, and I don't know the exact it's on the schedule, and they have pretty good write-ups, I'll tell you, on the website in terms of what each of the topics and the speakers and so on in each of the sessions. But I don't think it's WordPress-specific, and I didn't see anything else on the schedule.
Yeah, it looks like actually Saeed speaking, it looks like more about kind of building page views around WordPress. I always thought that was funny because I went last year and there was, I think, two topics specific to WordPress, which I get. It's not a WordPress conference. I wouldn't expect there to be a huge amount, but it is a blogging conference. And WordPress is obviously the dominant platform yeah. in that space, right? So you would think there would be, I mean, there should be specific topics around WordPress, around Blogger, around all of them, you know, because these are people using these tools day in and day out. So why not have, you know, some of the leaders like really talk about, hey, here's your site. How can you make your WordPress site cooler? What cool plugins can you use? What are some cool themes out there? You know what? Rather than just, how to write a good article. Like I just always expected there to be more platform specific stuff.
I know leading into tomorrow, there is some optimization stuff and some other blog specific stuff. There's going to be a lot of mobile topics being discussed. What I saw today was predominantly social media and podcasting. And in fact, I've got some notes that I'll pass along to you guys that may help us in terms of video casting and so on and moving forward. We'll see how it goes. And some of those topics were really cool. But alongside with the regular sessions that they're running for Blog World specifically, they're running a social media summit in conjunction, which is kind of an add-on thing. The reasoning behind it seemed very monetary to me, and that's fine. But you couldn't go into any of those sessions, which in fact look like more interesting session titles and speakers than the regular Blog World stuff. So we'll see how the rest of it goes.
I'd gone to the three Blog Worlds that were here in Vegas before they moved to LA and then obviously New York. And I'll be honest with you, I got so much value out of hanging out on the showroom floor and hanging out in the hallways and having great conversations with a bunch of people more than the actual sessions that were set up. It really seemed like the sessions, it's one of those things where the price of the event kind of goes up. And so you expect like a higher level of person from the company to be there. So it's more aimed at the CEO and things like that, the top level folks rather than the people who are kind of in the trenches doing the day-to-day work. But I don't know. That could just be me.
No, which is funny. That's because that's how we, I would say all four of us probably do WordCamps more so. We get probably, I know I get more out of WordCamps hanging out in the hallways, making connections, talking with people. I do at most of the sessions. I definitely learn stuff at sessions.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Don't get me wrong, but I usually get more out of just the networking part of it than anything else. And I think that probably holds true maybe in some aspect of Blog World too.
Yeah, same page here. I mean, I've probably been to 3/4 of the camps in the last probably 18 months that John's been at. So I get to hang out with him quite a bit, and that's really exciting for me. I get a lot of value of outside of the sessions as well. I do catch some, generally not that many, although I will say that at Orange County this last weekend, I probably caught 4 full sessions, and that's probably more than I had seen all year in all WordCamps combined. I did go to a few sessions today. I got some value out of it, and I am absolutely looking forward to the show floor opening. Historically, in these larger expo-type events across the different markets that I've been involved in, that's where a lot of the cool stuff really goes down.
Absolutely.
So more to come.
Cool.
We'll have to do a follow-up podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, let's do next week we'll follow up to see what your overall impressions were, because I'd be curious to see if the next 2 days what you thought.
Now, I think
absolutely.
As I ask this, I think John definitely does, but how many of us keep track of the number of WordCamps we've been to? And I think John will have all of us.
I am jealous of John's list because I keep saying I need to build an easy way to track these things, a custom post type something where I can just boom, 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 punch it in, and I don't. So I feel like I still know enough where I could probably backfill it, but if I don't do it soon, I'm going to start forgetting WordCamps. And I need to build that list before I forget, because the way John has it on his site is really cool.
WordCamp tracker, I sense a plugin coming.
Ooh,
nice.
What would be even cooler is if, you know, on the back end, and maybe you don't want to see this. I probably don't want to see this. You can just put in how much you spent at that WordCamp.
Yeah, Brad, I definitely.
And then over time, it'll be like, how much have you spent at the 50 bazillion WordCamps you've been to?
That's
probably not really a stat you want to see.
Well, then, and it's got to give you a way to aggregate every single camp and compare it to Phoenix last year alone in Santan.
I swear to God, I was going to say, can we get like a high score chart for like the Santan?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot you even have the little check marks based on, you know, you have the WordCamp, you have the date, and then you have four potential check boxes, one for organizer, sponsor, speaker, or attendee. So it's kind of neat seeing that, you know, there's even some that you sponsor they haven't gone to, which, you know, we've done the same, which is really cool. So I need to, yeah.
We were doing that a bunch at the very beginning, but the problem with that is it kind of got out of hand to where my phone was ringing like every other day. Hey, we're running a WordCamp. Send us cash.
Yes.
So yeah. We tempered that, and now it's pretty much – I try to sponsor any event that we're going to go to. It's you kind of get that really nice benefit of, especially if you walk around with a shirt with your logo on it, you've got the logo on the website, then they see your smiling face, then you're wearing the shirt, and people go, oh, hey, it's that dude. So it's always worked out really well for us.
Yeah, it's great if you have, well, in your case too, you know, if you bring a couple people, then with the sponsor packages, you get a few tickets, so you're going to buy tickets anyways. So it's just, you spend a little bit more, but you still get the tickets. You get to go to the, you know, the, speaker sponsor gatherings and parties and stuff. So I agree. Usually if we're going to WordCamp, we almost always sponsor. We do sponsor some we don't go to, generally the ones that are ran by our friends. And if we just can't make it, but we still want to contribute. I always joke because Dre and I pretty much just pass sponsorship money back and forth every year.
Yeah,
he just sponsors Philly. I sponsor San Diego. And it's like, oh, here's your money back. And he's like, oh, here's your money back.
And then, well, that'll happen again here at the end of the year. I'll tell you, John, you were speaking of your shirts, and I don't know if you have pictures of the like the bowling style shirts that you guys have worn over the last couple years, which are like just
those are
awesome.
Cool. Those are cool. They remind me. They're almost like Charlie Sheen, Two and a Half Men, like his, you know, his button down style shirts, but they have your logo on them, right? It's really neat.
The best part was I think there's only like 6 or 7 of those in existence, and they're pretty cool. Like if I show up wearing that by myself, but we went to a one word camp where Shane, Abby, Chris, me, Todd, and Andy were all there, all wearing them. That was a bit much. That was a little embarrassing. I'm like, somebody just go change, really.
Well, when we first got our cream shirts for web dev, we had our whole team, a good majority of our team, we rented a passenger van and drove it down to WordCamp Raleigh. So I think we went down with 8 and came back with 10 or something like that. And we all had them on, and everyone was, you know, where do I get that shirt? Can I buy one? I want one. It's like, well, you know, we just brought something to give away to people we knew. We didn't have a lot of extras. So, but it is neat because it gets people asking questions like, what is that shirt? Why is everybody wearing it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's marketing, baby.
Indeed.
Speaking of which, how's stuff going at 9 Seeds? What's new?
Oh man, it's you ask me that at such a perfect time. Like we'll have to have a lot of beers to really dive into that. But
after show material,
way after show material. But things are good. I brought on another. Well, I don't know if you guys have met Justin Full. He's been working with me for a while, so I just kind of brought him on, and he's pretty much working with me full time now. So really excited about that. We've got. You know, we've been doing a ton of client work. I mean, it's to the point where the client work is actually taking over pretty much my life. And actually, while we're at it, can I just kind of roll that right into the next topic?
Please.
Yes. If you were going to do it, I was going to.
This article from Boone about the patronage model.
Patronage.
I freaking love that. That is such a great, great idea. And I was going to kind of ask you guys how much of that have you tried? Because we've actually tried that in the past where we've, as a matter of fact, one of the plugins that we've released, the Chargeify plugin, that was actually, that started off as a project that we had done for a client entirely. And once it was all done, about 3 months later or something like that. I think it was 6 months later, Chargeify changed their policy, and it killed our client's business model. So because of that, he basically gave it back to us, and he says, look, I can't use this plugin. If you want to release it, knock yourself out. So on my side, I've got I love the idea of the patronage model, mm-hmm. but once we release that plugin, you know, then the phone starts ringing, wanting changes to it, support for it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of a double-edged sword on whether or not you're going to, like, how much of that stuff do you really want out there that you want to continue to support?
Right. And well, just to recap here for those listening, I'll drop the link in the show notes, but we're talking about editorial from Boone Gorges, who is a BuddyPress core developer and also a freelance developer, who wrote about what he calls the patronage model. And just one of the sort of snippets from his article that I think kind of illustrates it, he said, to combat the conflicts so that I can contribute more as well as, you know, take on more work, he says, I've moved increasingly toward what I think of as a patronage model. Broadly, the idea is that clients fund the process of turning the custom-developed features that they were already going to pay for into something that can be contributed back to the free software community. In exchange, they get certain benefits like prestige and publicity, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we're talking about now. Sorry, don't mean to interrupt.
See, my challenge with that is, and I think that Boone's on the right track, and I get to the essence where he's heading with that, but it gets back to John's point in the support of that. There's still going to be ongoing, you know, support that needs to happen there from a development perspective, and there's only so many hours in the day. You know, some of us have mouths to feed in the whole nine.
Sure.
How does that come to play? How is
40
that?
40 kids.
Yeah, 40.
That's we actually we do quite a bit of this. We've done a lot more of this in the past, and I'm definitely guilty of not doing this as much, mainly because we're in a very we're growing right now. We're in a very big growing stage, so we just haven't had the time. Like, I literally have 10 plugins on the docket, and it's taking a plugin that you use on a website and releasing it. There's a very big gap between those two things, you know, and a lot of work that goes into it to do it properly. So it's like I have all these great plugins and code and functions and stuff we developed that I'd love to get out there. It's just a matter of having enough hours in the day, and right now I don't. But we actually did this quite a bit. What's that?
Sorry, I was going to just say writing for one person and showing one person how to use it is way different than releasing it to 70 million.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I release a plugin, I want it to be, have internationalization support. But if I'm building it for a single client, it doesn't need that. And I don't put it in because it's just going to, you know, it's going to add some milliseconds to the process that doesn't need to be there. You know, stuff like that you don't include that you need to include if you release it. You know, screenshots, readme.txt, you know, you really need to comment the hell out of it. And even with a client, yeah, you know, you need to comment it, but it may not be the extent of what you should do if you release it. We do this a lot. I would say I have at least 4 or 5 plugins out there that were from client projects, and we talked to the client and released it. So I absolutely love this. And just like Boone says, it's really a win-win. You get paid to do it. And any time we've approached a client and said, hey, this is a plugin, this is a really cool plugin that the community can benefit, they almost always get behind it and say, you know what, that is cool. And they really like the idea of giving back, you know, and say, look, I'll give you props. You know, you funded it. I'll put your, you know, you can put your name on it. I don't care. But they really get behind it. Like, that is cool. Like, other people can use this and download it. Now, obviously, there's asterisks next to some of that. You know, some of these very large corporations, you're never going to get away with something like this, period. Like, it's just not going to happen. You know, if you're working with a Fortune 500 company, it's got to be very hard to get stuff like this through. Even though he makes extremely valid points in this article, they're just not going to do it. And they're going to tell you, well, you either play by our rules or we go somewhere else. Well, so you have to make the decision. Is that a client you want or not?
Right. And I think that's what's interesting about his point, too, is he's saying that it's all the work that he takes now. Is only yeah. with those clients who will sort of
work
within that.
The big difference between what Boone's doing, because Boone is a freelancer, you know, he doesn't work for a company, he's not running a company. And what I do, I run a company, so I have, you know, we have 12 people on staff. So it's my job to make sure that those 12 people have plenty of work. We're bringing in enough to make sure the company's growing and everybody, you know, we're all making money and making payroll every 2 weeks and all that stuff. So. And when you get into those type of clients that are big enough to turn that down, those are really big jobs generally. Those, you know, you're talking high 5-figure, mm-hmm. 6-figure jobs. So it's hard to pass that stuff by. You know what I mean? Would I love to do that? You know, absolutely. And generally, some of them are really cool about it, but there are some that aren't. But I mean, this stuff is great. Like, as much if we can ever get, you know, we try to give back as much as we can. And I'll admit we haven't been doing it as often as we should. it's something I need to get back into.
There's actually, this hasn't gone up because I think it's scheduled to post as a link a little bit later, so I'm looking it up, but Daniel Backhuber, I think it's how you pronounce his last name, from Automattic posted a blog post kind of talking about the complexity with, you know, a larger company, you know, with a lot of sort of stuff to think about with their code base and a lot of the stuff that they're working with, trying to also release stuff to the community. Let me pull that up and get that in the show notes as well, because it's definitely a related issue to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, what's cool, this is actually, you know, we've worked with Boone quite a bit in the past. He's referred clients to us. He actually had a client that basically hired him to make Collab Press, which is the task management plugin that we built, compatible with BuddyPress. So he went in there and you know, he emailed us and said, hey, is there, you know, I'd like to contribute to it. And great. So we gave him access to the repo. You know, I trust Boone. He's an awesome guy. He went in there and hooked it all up, and then we pushed up a new version, and boom, now CollabPress has BuddyPress support because of a client that wanted to pay him to do it. So it's a perfect example of what he's talking about here, and kind of seeing it in action. So it's, that's, I mean, great. this is great stuff.
Well, actually, Brad, let me, I'm sorry, Dre, real quick. Brad, sure. Just let's say that you now were to ever consider turning that into a pro plugin and having a, you know, pro version of that. I mean, you know, then you've got like this other weird tie of, you know, how much of that pro version is based on Boone's work, and then would you, you know, slot him in for a slice of that?
Yeah, I mean, that you're right. That's if we ever do that, that's definitely questions we're gonna have to think about and discuss prior to doing it. Because yeah, if we hooked in some kind of pro feature to the BuddyPress piece, which Boone built, but we sell something, you know, I would certainly never put a restriction on what he contributed to it, because that was the agreement. You know, he put it into the free and open source version of Collab Press. So if we did do something within the BuddyPress piece, I would just, you know, add some hooks in there and then make it an add-on or something. You know, I would certainly talk to him before I did anything like that. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely things to consider, especially when you start charging for, if you're going to have a pro version or some add-ons or something. Something to consider. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's a good question.
We've got
another. I'm not going to go, thanks, Boone. Now I'm going to sell this.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I wouldn't do that.
And none of us would. It's not that we would. It just adds a weird layer of complexity when you start.
It does.
Like, if you were to even think about having a, like, you wake up one day and go, oh, I'm gonna make a pro version of this and release it with some function, some add-on functionality. Like, you're gonna just be hit with this brick wall of, oh boy, now what? Like, how do we slice this?
Yeah, and these are things you need to. If you're thinking about doing this and you haven't already started doing it, definitely address these things prior to doing it. So, a lot harder to address after you've already done it versus before. You know, if you have multiple collaborators from various areas. Like in this case, you know, it's definitely something I would approach Boone and say, this is what we want to do. Do you have any issues with this? You know, and we're all friends, you know, all of us are friends, you know, we're good friends with Boone. So it's something where we would figure out a good resolution. I certainly wouldn't put any restrictions on what he contributed.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about, you know, that particular plugin in general, in specific, right. I'm just saying, and it's just a weird.
It's hairy if you have a lot of contributors. The one thing, you know, and if other people come up and say, "I want to contribute," or you know, you get a lot of translation. You know, people want to do translations and stuff. That's contributing, even though it's not necessarily specifically code. They're contributing a translation file to your plugin. You know, so that whole premium market. I mean, that's something that if you're getting into it, and it's something we're, you know, we're certainly looking into. There's a lot of things to consider before you actually dive in, you know, rather than just getting out there and selling something, you really got to think about all these different, possibilities and scenarios, you know?
Absolutely. Sorry, Dre, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good. Carry on.
So before right.
we that thing, Tony?
what a perfect segue into my talking about our sponsor. That's perfect.
I like to make our sponsors feel special.
Yeah, no, and with that sound effect, or with any sound effect, how could they not? But I know you don't have one for Harvest, and that's tonight's show sponsor, which I want to thank. Harvest is a time tracking application that I used a lot when I was freelancing, which I haven't done for, you know, I feel totally out of place, you know, with you three, since I don't do much development work except for myself anymore. But when I did, I relied on Harvest entirely for tracking my time and billing clients and things like that. I still use it now, but now it's for internal purposes and not for billing, since I don't do that work anymore. But I think it's really handy in a number of different ways. But what I always liked most about it was how easy it was to add time to your reports or to your projects. So they have, you know, an iPhone app, and they have all these different ways. I tended to use they have a Mac desktop widget that was just really easy to like scroll over and, you know, hit start and stop and change tasks and things like that. That's what I've always used the most.
Did you see their list of add-ons? Their add-on page is sick.
Yeah, I was just going to say it.
Jeez.
As soon as they saw Basecamp on there, they had me. They had me at Basecamp.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the other nice thing, because, and I think I don't use Basecamp myself, but I think in the update they don't have time tracking anymore, right? So you have to use an external.
In the latest version, they don't know. Right. Although they said it's coming, they're just it's not.
Okay, so they are going to add it back in. Well.
And it works with Redvine. That's cool too, because that's actually another project management app I'm looking at.
Yeah, nice. The add-ons list is impressive, and I think that's when you're looking at. Oh, look! I never even saw this before. There's a Harvest WordPress plugin. That's cool, and I wasn't even aware of that. I need to check that out. Just scrolling down their add-ons list, and it's there. Huh. In any case, so that's cool. You can try Harvest free for 30 days, but they also gave us a coupon code if you'd like half off your first month with them. Now, that's actually could be your second month. If you do 30-day trial and then actually pay for the second month, you can get half off using the code WP at checkout. So, thanks to Harvest for supporting the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, see, that's a good use. That's a good use of your soundboard.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Why did I ever give you a soundboard in the first place? I still don't know.
We need a slow clap. That'd be great.
I do not have a slow clap.
Now he will, though.
Oh, I will.
So I think, I want to say the release candidate for 3.4 did happen before last show. Am I wrong? I think that's the case.
It did. It did.
Because we were talking about 9 years old.
We probably talked about it. And...
Yeah. But that is to say that it's still release candidate 1.
We might have talked about it last week. Who really knows?
there's show notes. There's a recording somewhere, but nobody listens to
it. Yeah, somebody figure that out and let us know. Thanks.
If it was close last week, it's way, way closer this week. In fact, I think I saw on the a short discussion on, what is it, Polyglots? The translation blog for WordPress, and there was just a quick mention there that it's probably within the next week that it will
be. Now's the time to test those plugins. RC's out, so test those plugins, test those themes. It's time to really dig in there and make sure it's all good.
All gravy, baby.
It is dropping soon.
Is
maybe like even maybe even at New York. Who knows? It might
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that. I know that Mr. Matt Mullenweg is in the neighborhood. He was a couple blocks down from where I'm staying yesterday evening. So I wonder if he makes an appearance and announces some fun stuff.
And you didn't get him on the show. Way to go, hey, Dre.
Well, I don't got it like that, man.
You get me instead.
We get you. Like that.
Oh, we're not stuck with you, John. We're happy you're here.
Even though we're taking bets. We want to take? Why don't we take some bets on the release? Who's
Oh no. Well, how specific are we gonna get here?
I think the day. I don't know if we need to go time. Why did you? How specific did you want to get?
Oh, I was just gonna say. I was just gonna say before our next show, and I can say that because I can delay our show as long as I need. So that was gonna be.
Wow, that's dirty.
Yeah, I know, right?
That is dirty.
You found me out.
I'm going to say...
I'll take the 11.
Okay.
I want to say it's going to be there in New York, but I'm going to... Yeah, I'm going to say it's... I'm going to say Sunday the 10th. 10th.
Hmm. Ooh. Let me stall as I pull up track here and see.
Yeah, I know. I was about to
say progress.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were cheating for this.
Wow. I just looked at a calendar.
I want to track fool you because they have to add in an extra 2 days to come up with a clever haiku.
Haiku.
Can't release without a nice haiku, and that takes time.
Yeah.
So we have the 10th and the 11th?
Yeah, it's going to be the second Tuesday next week.
I see one ticket.
What's the ticket? The
yeah, I am.
Don't tell him, Brad.
I ain't telling him.
Did you say no, Tuesday, Drake? That's what I was going to say.
No, I think somewhere around there. Tuesday.
Tuesday's a good release day. Who knows? We'll see.
I'm going to say tomorrow.
Man, you are.
Dre has now. That's his best.
Yeah, just,
and you know what? He'll nail it because we're at WordCamp Las Vegas. He puts a 20 in the machine, and like 2 seconds later, wins like $900. I'm like, are you kidding me? The most I've ever won on a machine is like maybe $40 in my life.
Hey, speaking of like, WordCamp Vegas.
Oh, there's a cool 900. I'm having a good weekend.
That was the birth of Tickle Press.
Whoa!
I need this explained to me right now.
That's for another episode, my friend.
Okay, all right.
Speaking of WordCamp Vegas, you guys busy in October?
Oh, you know, I'll be in Vegas.
Oh, okay. Good.
What are we talking? Why? What's happening in October?
From what I hear, there may be a WordCamp Vegas happening. I need to finish up the little site action, and then we'll do kind of like a real, honest to goodness announcement.
Maybe some Philly stuff going down in October, so we should cross streams later.
Yeah, yeah. To do
that's definitely after show material.
I'd be curious to know what that date is, so we should definitely talk about that offline.
But that's the
sorry, I'm echoing back there. Somebody said I'm echoing. Am I echoing on your guys' side?
No.
Nope. I still just hear fire trucks.
I think Spreecast, I don't know. It's everyone's connection's weird.
If he's echoing on Spreecast, then just double check your Spreecast.
I can definitely ask about the echoing issues that we've been experiencing to Spreecast. They have a booth here at the show, so tomorrow. Like, what cool. is up?
Yeah, I mean, I love the service. It's really easy. It's definitely, I mean, it's still very, 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 very new. So also ask them why we can't have a pre-show.
That would be a nice.
That's another big one. Like a little pre-show. It doesn't have to be recorded, but at least people can watch the stream, you know?
Right. Just the ability to like cut the video or kind of say like new show and maintain the
I'm going to send over a list of questions. And you ask them.
You just walk right up to the desk. You're like, hey, can I talk to the biggest guy in charge? Who do you got?
I have a list of demands here, so let's get right to it.
I hope you didn't mean physically big. I don't want to catch an ass whooping on the Blog World floor tomorrow. That would suck.
You know who I am? You know who I am?
I'm Dre Armada.
Oh, you're awesome.
So good.
What's that, Kim? I guess Techno Sailor tweeting. You know, I'll tell you what. I had lunch with old Aaron today, and he said he was going to crash the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't quite make it. I ran from him. I didn't really run from him, but hey,
you run from him. You're like, all right, follow me up to the hotel, and you just take off running down the street.
That's why Dre is actually Skype casting from the back of a cab right now, so he can't be found.
In fact, there was discussion about that.
Just keep driving while we record.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm going to tell him, bring it on there, big boy.
The problem is keeping that Cat 5 plugged in is a bitch.
Yeah, I've been through like 17 RJ45 connectors in the last 20 minutes.
You got some nerds.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why we get along.
Nerds talking about. Is there an echo?
Echo?
Maybe a little bit. I'll ignore it.
Driving this bus.
Does anybody know what the Internet Defense League is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
It sounds so official.
That's not like Nerd Fight Club, is it?
No. Well, because if it was, we can't really talk about it, Ryan.
Boom.
Sad part is, I own that.com. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you do. But you're doing nothing with it.
Make
me
millions one day. I need some people to fight. Come on, man. Let's go.
Well, whatever the Defense League is, WordPress has now joined it along with Reddit, Cheeseburger Network, looks like the EFF, Open Congress, all sorts of folks. And it looks like sort of a more official conglomeration of those who kind of actively spoke out against things like SOPA. Seems kind of neat. It's a cool site for sure. It's got the, I mean, what is that? Like the lolcat bat signal. I don't know what else to call it.
That's what it is.
That's great. Internet.
Yeah, exactly. Internet assemble.
Internet assemble.
Wow.
Oh, it's a cat in the sky. That must mean the internet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what else could it mean?
That's a good idea, man, because honestly, all that stuff was, I mean, it was such BS, and it was so obvious, and it's the worst part of it all is that it's these politicians that can't even type 10 words a minute. Like, they don't really even understand the internet, and they're trying to make these laws around it. Like, how is that? I don't understand how you get elected into office and not be able to send an email at this point. Like that. I mean, I almost feel like there should be some kind of computer competency test just to be a politician. I mean, it's such a huge part of our lives. I'm serious about that. I think it's such a huge part of our lives, and they're governing laws around it, and they don't even truly get it. You know, their laws are all based on stopping piracy because, you know, all the music industry is shoving money in their pockets, but they don't even really truly understand what it is they're up against. So, more stuff like this, the better. I mean, we obviously saw what all these websites and the internet just coming together can do, which is pretty amazing. So having some kind of, you know, centralized, you know, cat bat signal to do that, I think is a great idea. I mean, it's to protect the internet and the freedoms around it. So
I'm Catman.
We need to get that onto the soundboard. just that little I'm Catman.
And I'm Batman.
What I hope that they do with this as well is just communicate and get the word out about things, because I mean, it was definitely amazing to see all of the sort of attention and I guess energy that went behind the SOPA and PIPA stuff. But it's not like they're done. There's going to be more stuff like that, and you know,
and there has been. I mean, it's going to be, you know, the
continuous effort. Yeah.
Yeah, divide some of the policy into other policies, and they'll hide it in pages of litigation and lobbying and all sorts of fun stuff. And little by little, stuff will start making its way in. You know, as big as these two specific ones that came out in SOPA and PIPA, you still got a lot of that same crap going on. They're just hiding it. It's going to continue. So this type of defense league, which sounds kind of funny to me, some kind of like droid network or something. It's the weirdest name to me, almost scary.
What do the outfits look like?
That's what I'm thinking, right? Is it like some futuristic? Wow, I don't know, man. in any event, I think the idea behind it is good. Anytime we are able to assemble as people that use the internet that know how to type, Brad, to your point, I think it's important that we do voice when we know that shit's about to get real, right? Because it's about to get real. There's ambulances outside again.
I'm sure you're going to hear that pretty consistently while you're there.
Oh, yeah.
It is New York City, the loudest city in the world. It'd be 4 a.m. and it's just constant sirens.
Krogsgaard just added to the chat as a related thing. Jake Caputo, Caputo. I've been saying his name wrong. He's a theme developer. He just made TakeMyMoneyHBO.com. Like, just announced it in the last few minutes, which is kind of related to what we're talking about. It's kind of funny. And I put the link into the chat, and it's just a little sort of tweet site that just says, you know, take my money, HBO. We pirate Game of Thrones. We use our friend's HBO Go login to watch True Blood. Please, HBO, offer a standalone HBO Go streaming service and take my money. And then you can tweet the amount of money that you'd be willing to spend for that service.
Wow.
Nice. And I'm just watching all of the tweets come in. There's like 7 or 8 of them now. It's pretty funny.
Very legit.
In any case, we do. I do agree, Brad, that we need to get. I just see from the chat we need to get Dre's little character into that bat signal somehow. I know,
and we need little Dre Taco Man in the bat signal. Someone needs to hook it up. Who are we assigning that task to?
Oh yeah, we got to do that.
I'm Catman.
Assign a project to somebody.
That's right. This is like Fight Club.
You're a designer. Raise your hand. No?
No. Nope. Nobody? Nope. Nope. Well, there's a slight delay, so you're not going to see it.
Epic fail.
Akismet caught its 50 billionth piece of spam last week, or in the last week.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of spam.
Rookies.
I answered that many spam last week.
Did you know?
Yeah. I just approved them all. I thought they were, you know, real.
They seem nice.
They seem nice, yeah.
Legitimate.
Think about that. 50 billion pieces of spam. That's insane, man.
Dude.
This, I love the stats that they put out with this. So, I mean, they said 92% of all items checked by Kismet are spam. So, basically, 92% of whatever they're passing in is spam, whether it's comments or something else, because you can tap it into other things. But they said 99.5% of all trackbacks are spam.
Oh, yeah.
99.5%. With that kind of stat, I'm almost thinking, rip that feature out of every platform out of there. What's the point? What's the point if 99.5% are spam?
What other purpose does it really serve today, trackbacks?
Well, I mean,
it worked great years ago, but come on.
Yeah. I think I still see useful trackbacks to some stuff on my site, but it's few and far between. You know, you'll see one for every 100 comments that are solid. You know, I think as long as you have something like it, because it's not running, you might as well leave it on. But for most people, there's probably never going to be anything useful that comes through there.
How many? What was the percentage?
99.5% of all trackbacks are spam.
Wow, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
So figure that out. If there's 50 billion spam things, 99.5%. How many were legit?
I don't think
can't do it that way. I mean, but 99.95 means one out of every 5,000 is actually good. Is that right?
What caught my eye too is that
500.
Math. I just programmed
math.
Yeah, you just
computers
you just
do
broke,
that for
you. Just broke WP Late Night with that question.
Yeah, look, it's my son like making a appearance on the video. Do you see him?
No, I don't.
He's like right there. That's my kid.
Yeah, little head back there.
Aw.
Howdy ho.
All right, you can go now.
I don't think people necessarily.
Oh wow, he's streaking.
Wow, that is offensive. What is he doing?
What is he doing back there?
I don't think we think about it that often, or at least I don't, that Akismet, they point out in this blog post, runs on platforms other than WordPress. So there are other services out there that tap into and use Akismet's system, which is, you know, accounts for a lot of it. It's not to say that all of it's coming through WordPress, but I would have to venture against.
Yeah, there's an API
spam,
you can tap into.
Yeah, it's coming through probably WordPress.
Have any of you tried that? Cool. I actually had that come up a couple weeks back. A client was... how I got reached out to about it, I have no idea, but we're pretty much only a WordPress house, but somebody came to us and they said, we've got a non-WordPress platform and they wanted to get Akismet running on it. And we turned them down and sent them away. Brad, we probably sent them to you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we either send them
like to pass referrals around.
We send
you need a WordPress site? Go talk to John at Nine Seats.
Exactly. Between you, me, and Pixel Jar. But
yeah, no, they do a lot. And it's funny because, like, Gravity Form is a great example. I think it was their latest major release has Akismet support. So you can essentially filter any contact form submission through Akismet, which is great because then you don't have to worry about some kind of weird Kafka added into the form.
Right.
Because chances are Akismet is gonna stop that. So that was a really cool feature that they hooked in, and they tapped it, you know, right into the API.
Which I really like because I think captchas are terrible and the worst ever. maybe that's just me, but
nope, not just you.
I don't think
they're annoying, and they seem to be getting harder and harder. Like every time I've hit a captcha recently, I've had to try a few times, and I've even. One or two sites, I can't remember the sites, I had to have it, like, read it to me. And I'm like, I can't even understand these letters. They don't make any sense.
Huh.
And you want me to type them. Like, they're just getting, and I'm sure it's because, the spam bots are getting smarter. But it's like, man, we need a better solution because it's really limiting. And sometimes you just get frustrated. And you're like, you know what, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm not submitting this form. I'm not commenting. I'm not going to try this thing 10 times in a row. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it's broken. It's completely broken. Actually, that reminds me. Go ahead. I was going to change the topic.
I was going to say, I have a picture on my desktop called Kafka Fail.
Mm.
And I took this a while ago. I didn't know why it's on my desktop. But it's one of those, you know, pick the image. It's got four images. It says, please click the image above that's a truck. And it's an IndyCar, a bald eagle, Pac-Man, and Bart Simpson. There's no truck. I was like, what?
Oh, no.
It's a big fail. I don't know why I took that picture, but it's on my desktop.
It's there.
So I actually like those when they work, but that one actually did not work. So
right. This reminds me, though, just talking about things that are broken. I don't have this in the notes, but I haven't had a chance to rant about this publicly yet, so I wanted to. So for the theme show, the three of us, myself, Justin, and Nick, are working on joining the theme review team.
Oh, wait, you didn't disband those other shows because we're the best WordPress talk show here?
No, they're still following along, sadly, behind us. Don't worry. They're still
horrible. That's okay. We love them anyway.
Yeah, no, they're the... but they so one of the things that we joined as a part of that, which I'm already on a handful of them, but I wasn't on the theme review mailing list. And I was reminded, and you can forget, like, after you join these mailing lists, kind of the process of joining it and what the first experience with them is like. And so this conversation came up between the three of us again, because we all joined it in the last week or so. Similar to how I say I don't think there's ever a good reason to use a CAPTCHA because they're broken. I just think that if you wanted to create the worst form of communication, or at least the worst tool for communicating with other human beings, I think a mailing list has to be that. it's frustrating me because so much, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you guys probably follow more mailing list stuff than I do, but there's probably not a whole lot of vital information that's necessarily passed that way, but just in getting started with it and thinking about it lately, it drives me nuts that that's how any WordPress-related communication happens at all through these mail, because it's actually, it's a pain to join them, right? And it looks broken and gross because of the mailing list software that you're, you know, adding your stuff to, and then actually communicating is confusing for an average human being. So it feels like you're cutting off a huge group of potentially interested people in that conversation when you start using a mailing list. Am I weird for that?
It's funny because there's a lot. I mean, a lot around WordPress are mailing lists. You know, the hackers list, the testers list, isn't there a UI list? There's like four or five, maybe six of them. There's one for every commit and track, which that don't even subscribe to that because that's right. Too much. You're right. It is kind of, it definitely feels extremely old school.
Right.
Doing it like that.
I don't know. So I didn't have a necessarily purpose to that. I've just been wanting to rant lately because it's like the more that I think about it, the crazier I get a little bit. So.
It's like, what would be better? Because you definitely, you know, when there's conversations happening, you need some kind of notification, right? You need something to tell you, hey, there's some activity. You need to go check this out. Or, maybe you care, maybe you don't.
Well, here's because there are two ways. You can either kind of take the fire hose and take all submissions of people, or you can get the digest, right, which either cuts it off by number of conversations or, like, length of the email, and then it shoots one out to you. And actually, I think, I mean, you know, I was talking about P2 a lot last week. I think that P2 with a decent notification for top level discussions would be worthwhile, or could be a good replacement. Because part of the problem is, I was saying this actually the other night talking to the theme review guys, that I think the mailing list process or how it emails every piece of a conversation means that people just leaving people that you probably don't need to be notified about what they're saying get looped in with all of the people that you should be paying attention to.
This is true.
So it's almost like it kind of gives a stage for just anybody who wants to go and rant. It's going to go out to all these people. Whereas if it was a blog setup where you're only getting notified by email for top level discussions, and then you could, like, subscribe to the ones you were interested in, I feel like that would be a much simpler and more human way to work.
And the hackers list was way noisier even like a year ago. I mean, it's really kind of quieted down a lot. There's still, you know, a few emails a day or so, or a few email topics a day, I should say. But I remember a year or two ago, it was like, you know, 20, 30, 40 different topics a day coming through that thing. It was really hard to track any of the conversations. I stay subscribed because every once in a while, one will catch my eye, a question that, you know, I think is interesting, or I want to see how other people respond to it, or what they, you know, what they suggest. So that's one reason. I mean, it's definitely good information coming through there, but you're right. It can be a bit much. And it can be intimidating if you sign up and all of a sudden you get, you know, you're starting to get 50 emails a day from one set list. I don't know how many are on the theme review team because that's not a public list, but hackers is probably the noisiest, I would say, out of all the public ones outside of the track commit.
Well, I mean, isn't that going to be a problem? I mean, depending on, like, what the topic is. I mean, if you're doing the digest, right? You're getting the digest tomorrow for everything that was talked about today.
Right.
So, like, that's obviously going to be a problem if it's kind of like, you know, then obviously, like, a P2 or something like that is going to be kind of a requirement, or else, you know, you're just going to miss everything. So,
right.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of those. Or maybe it's just I've never really had a project that has kind of warranted that that type of communication.
The P2 piece would be
–
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense going that direction at some point, you know, depending on how that almost like you said, a requirement. I mean, to really head that route to make it, I think, understandable to the masses and make sure that you're still targeting and hitting that right audience.
Right.
Now, I hate to do this to you guys, but speaking of P2 and those type of things that we put on our pretty little websites called themes. Color Labs and Company put out on their blog here a theme bid.
God, you're good.
A WordPress theme auction.
I totally had one more point, but go ahead, Dre. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think he wants to cut off your point, though.
No, I don't.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you really don't have a point?
One point. I'll just throw it out there. I'll throw it out there because I think it's a really good point. I think a great platform for these conversations, but people just are, I don't know if they're tired or they feel like it's out of date or it's old technology, or forums. Like a forum for these conversations is where they should be happening. But I think everyone's kind of like, forums, that's old. You know, that was 10 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Like a forum with a daily digest, I think would be perfect because you can go in there. You can look at the threads that interest you, you know, contribute to the ones that interest you. The ones that don't interest you, you don't even click into them. And that's it, you know. But
they're searchable.
It's a great archive. Like the mailing lists all have an archive, but they're not – great, they're just kind of all there, but it's really hard to kind of find stuff. But
they're searchable, and they don't.
Solution.
And browsing them doesn't make you want to stab your eyeballs out like looking at the mailing list archives do.
Good yeah, Lord. Exactly. And you can, you
it's
know,
terrible,
you can have
right?
code snippets, and it's again. I think that'd be a good solution. You know, don't shoot me for saying this, but I don't know if BB Press is the right way to go, just because it's you know, I think it needs to be something with a little bit, you know, maybe a bigger feature set. BB Press would work, but. Mm-hmm. I think forums is like, I don't know why. It seems like everyone thinks it's kind of old technology and it's,
but I don't know.
A good technology.
Well, what's the dominating force, at least historically has been? It's been vBulletin, and I'll tell you what, it's a heavy pig. It's great.
Oh, yeah,
it's a major challenge, I think. It dominates the forum space, and I think that's caused a lot of people to move away.
It's
been around forever. Like ever since we've been on the internet, you've probably been a part of some forum or maybe not so much anymore. But back in the day, I learned most of my coding from forums, you know, from SitePoint. I was all over SitePoint. Like that was my forum. And that's where I learned a good majority of the coding. Not what I'm doing today, but back then when I was doing it. I don't know. It's just it'd be a good place to have conversations like this.
Yeah, I think it's been a long time since I did anything with vBulletin, but it's been a pleasure using BB Press since I switched over started using it for WP Candy last year. And it's super lightweight, you know, and there's actually a good collection.
I do like BB Press. I don't want to come off sounding like I don't. I think it's good, in my opinion. It's not the best solution without a lot of customization or a lot of plugin installations for really, really large message boards.
Anything
over vBulletin.
I will write shit down on paper before using vBulletin.
And scan it.
Mail it to them. Fax it to them.
Yeah,
like, faxes. Let's hold it up to the screen.
I think the only people that use faxes is overseas government agencies. There you go, John. I love it.
All right, sorry. You could go back to your segue, Dre. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that segue sucked anyways. I'll take first bid on the solution.
Well, I'm glad I destroyed it.
For communication mechanisms there. What do you guys think about this post? It's pretty interesting to see kind of what they're doing here.
Yeah, I added this sort of to my scratch list. And
someone
it'd be kind of fun
can someone
to
explain
about.
It to me quickly? Because I haven't read it yet.
I will explain it to you. So they've started, and I believe are still doing it. They started it midway through May, and I believe it's still continuing, although I don't know for sure. But it's an interesting idea. I like reading about different ways that different theme shops will sell their stuff. And they basically are doing a Twitter-driven theme bidding process. So the blog post that we link to or that I'll put in the show notes is specific to, like, you know, Thursday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. You know, opening bid for their theme bundle that they're talking about at 5 cents. And then they're basically going to use Twitter to auction that up. And this is the first time I've heard of something like this. Especially, I mean, theme auction's one thing, but auction using Twitter, I thought was kind of interesting. It's probably worth following up with them and seeing if it actually worked or not, or whether it just went for 25 cents. But
well, we could go check out the
that's
search.
A cool idea. Just
sorry,
yeah, exactly.
Search, like,
yeah,
for the hashtag.
This hasn't actually happened yet, right?
No. Well, they did it on. They're doing it every Thursday, and they started earlier this month.
Yeah,
and they should be
happened.
On their coming up on their third one, I believe. So yeah, let me just.
This is a cool idea. It's interesting. You're right. I haven't actually seen a. Not to say it hasn't happened, but I haven't actually seen an auction over Twitter.
I'd be
curious, though, because there's always a delay in Twitter, you know, and it's the delay, I think, affects various people and connections differently. You know, when I'm on Twitter, if it's sometimes it'll, you know, sit there and rapidly update, and sometimes it'll pause for 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. So in the real-time world of an auction, it kind of needs to be pretty exact. So I'd be curious to how well this worked. It's a neat idea, though. I like it.
This is where Twitter just is broken, because they don't, like, their default search, and maybe there's another service for doing this, but it doesn't go back beyond, like, a week, I think.
Yeah, it's got, like, five posts.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can tell that people were using it, but Twitter just cuts off the search results. So I don't know if there's a better way to search old stuff, but that's one of the ways Twitter is terrible. But it looks like people are using it. They're asking when the next one is, and...
Well, I mean, if nothing else, it's brilliant marketing, right?
Absolutely.
You're getting,
it's marketing.
Yeah, it's great marketing.
It's awesome. I love it. Even if it does sell for 25 cents, so what?
Right, because you're going
to
get...
We need to market. We should do this. We need to auction off, you know, a day with Dre or, you know, whatever. A day with Dre. Who doesn't want a day with Dre? Starting at 5 cents. Let's go.
Well, I'm fully supportive of that.
You ready? That's my auction bell. Sounds a lot like a boxing bell, but
yeah.
5 cents, 5 cents. So we got 5 cents.
And yeah, Storage Wars. It's good times. Yeah.
I saw. Okay, and this is completely off topic, but we're
I'm
we're
the only one that wants to go buy a storage thing.
We're an hour into the show, so I'm okay with it. There's a commercial I saw. I think it was online. I'm not sure where exactly, but it was a commercial for that Storage Wars show, but they were all like I don't know what they were trying to mimic, but they were all in like fatigues. Like, I think it was on Memorial Day that I saw it.
Yeah, it was like an action movie.
Awful. Yeah, I was just watching it, and I was just like,
it's their promo for like the upcoming season.
I don't know. It seemed pretty stupid.
The one guy's got a flamethrower, and the other guy's like, yeah, I didn't.
They're standing in front of storage containers.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun show.
Yep. I can't get over that, dude, man. It's crazy. Yeah, and they buy, like, just a bunch of crap most of the time. I'll tell you what, half the stuff that they buy, there's no way that they're flipping it for a profit. There's no way.
Okay, we're up to 10 cents in chat. We got 10 cents on Dre. Where are we at? 15, 15? Who's got 15?
Hey, no budget ballers. If you're going to go big, baby.
Day with Dre.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Wow, that's, man, that 10 cents, that's just
awkward.
Cool idea, though. We'll have to go back and watch when the next live one is to actually see how many people. I'd be curious to see how many people are actually actively, like, is it two people just back and forth and they get it for like $1?
Right.
Or are they going, you know, are they actually going up towards a decent price, 5, 10, 20, whatever?
Sure. Well, it reminds me of, I think we talked about a good deal, the themethrift.com back when that was new, and it's still up, and Jake's still running stuff over there, but there are no themes at the moment. But similar sort of idea of just kind of finding different ways to sell WordPress themes, I think, is kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, hey, you got to keep on rolling, and when you're done rolling, baby, you got to just park that car. So what do you guys think about the introduction of WP Valet from WPMU.org?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Legit.
Man.
What just happened? I have no idea what just happened.
You've been segued is what happened. You've been segued by Dre.
You've been segued.
That's
that
what
was
he
a
does.
Segue. That was one of the best segues ever.
That was pretty amazing. So let me pull up this proper URL here, because we've got the wow. Everybody's so this is a new service as of this week. It's the WPValet.com. So I just dropped it into the chat. And it seems like, at least based on the announcement post, that it's kind of competing with some of the other services that have popped up in the last year for managing lots of WordPress sites. Does that sound accurate? I mean, it's still really new, so I don't think anybody you know, is expected to have tons of experience with it, but that seems to be what they're going for.
Seems to be what they're going for. And, you know, I was reading the, that opening post that's on, WPMU.org. And I do like the fact that one of the things that they do is they're like, hey, come here, sign up with us, give us access to your site, and we'll actually move it from wherever you're hosted now to their hosting location.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. So rather than, you know, the whole idea is, look, hey, we're going to, once you become our client, you sit back. We got this. We'll take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. That's a, I think that's a really cool, really smart way to go about it. Cause there's, you know, I deal with a lot of clients, especially in that space, people who are looking to move to like a hosted managed environment. And, you know, we've moved people to Pages, we've moved people to WP Engine and things like that, cause they want that level of comfort, but they don't necessarily have the expertise to start moving sites from here to there and making sure everything's going to continue to work. So you get somebody like, you know, WP Valet, and dude, hands off. Here you go. Knock yourself out. We'll take care of it. You go sell something. That's brilliant.
You know, it's a cool idea. I think the one thing that stands out is I think the price point's a bit high, and I think it's justified, the price, but they start at $150 a month, and that is going to price out a lot of people. You know, that's not,
yep,
that's not your lone bloggers, you know, unless they're making some serious cash on ads. $150 a month, man, that's, you're talking like dedicated server territory, you know, that's a lot of money.
Right.
No,
I'm not saying it's not justified, because based on what they're doing, $150 a month is not that much money. You know, that's very reasonable for what they're providing, but it's going to price out that lower end, you know, that 50 and under a month hosting, which is probably a good majority of the WordPress sites out there. I'm sure it is.
Well, look at the overhead that you get at the smaller levels, right? So inherently, I think that you get a larger portion of the very resource intensive type customers, if you will, at that lower end, those $5, $8, those $20 a month, sure, customers. Sure. And I think by targeting that higher segment, it puts you in a pretty favorable position to, you know what, I'm paying you to do these things, get it done. Time you put yourself in a position of quality versus quantity, maybe. So it may work really well.
Looking in the chat, somebody said, you know, they pay $50 a month for, I'm sorry, it's EA Man says he pays $50 a month for a VPS and he can run whatever he wants. Why pay $100 a month for a single site WordPress host? But
good question. But you're an exception to the rule. If you're running your own VPS, you've got skills to manage that. That's not what they're paying for here. It's a different service.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Not the target.
Right. Yeah, you're paying for the not. You know, you're a non-technical user. You're not going to run a VPS. You're not going to set up, you know, your own repos and things like that.
If you know what VPS stands for, you're not the target.
He's got a great point there. He's paying $50 there. He's talking monetary. Okay, they're paying $150 and it's done. He's still putting elbow grease, and he's got to consider the amount of time that he's putting in to manage that thing and keep it up and sustain it.
Right. I think just a little bit above there, Dimension Media said 2011 was the year of the paid WordPress themes. 2012 will be the year of WordPress hosting, or I would say managed WordPress hosting.
He's dead on. I was here earlier today and was talking to another potential entry into that space where they're saying, hey, we're seeing things and we want to head that route. I think there's plenty of room there, and I think that it's a very, very young segment in this new market that we're starting to see evolve. Why the hell not? If they've got the expertise, it's an instant added value compared to the traditional hosting model that's just really I think everybody in the room will agree that GoDaddy doesn't get WordPress. They don't get it.
Yeah.
So if you look at that traditional type of hosting environment, specifically when you talk shared and you talk those lower levels, you're getting extreme value by going with some type of managed WordPress hosting provider. So there's a lot of room there, and it's going to continue to grow. I'm excited. Dimension Media hit it head on. I think 2012 is absolutely the year of WordPress hosting.
Yeah, it feels like every month or two, there's another new one popping up somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see which ones stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. I'm anxious to see where it's at, you know, 6 months from now, because it is a little bit different. You know, it's, I think initially you think, oh, this is just another host, but if you read into it, it's, they're doing a little bit more than that. You know, they're really holding your hand and helping you with some development and stuff. So I'd be curious to see where it's at in, you know, a few months from now.
Yep, and it's it's the project of Mason James, who is the head of support at WPMU Dev. So that's why the announcement, I think, went up over at WPMU.org.
Makes sense.
We'll link that up in the show notes as well. Cool stuff. Man, do you want to kick it to the after show soon? We're coming up on an hour 15 now.
Probably should.
So
yeah, I need another one of Dre's horrible segues for the evening. We've had one too many as it is.
Well,
before we go,
please,
can I just say, go Kings, go. That's all I got.
Now, do we want to wrap up with any tips, Brad? I know you typically.
There's spotlights. I got one that was given to me by somebody else, but it looks cool.
Okay. All right.
Not tonight. It's just something I came across throughout the week. And
Please.
Are you looking you want to hear it?
Well, I mean.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, folks, that just happened.
I'm pulling up the site now.
Yes. I have
you know
a
what?
Great...
No, actually, I don't anymore. I actually don't want to know about it anymore. So you can forget about it.
You know what? You're going to take it and you're going to like it. This is it was brought to me or to my attention from WP Smith, but it's a new plugin called CPT Anomies. Anomies.
No,
CPT
what?
Anomies.
Okay. Can you link it up in the chat room?
Did you just say link it up?
I should be smarter than
link it up.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I should be smarter than picking hard spotlights this late in the show. It's an interesting concept, though. It's basically the using custom post types as taxonomies in place of taxonomies. Interesting concept. It's neat because it kind of gets you thinking like this is an interesting approach. And in my opinion, and then probably everyone's opinion, CPTs are way easier to work with than anything. I mean, CPTs are extremely easy to work with. You know, we all know that. CPTs being custom post types, if you don't know. But it's basically them using CPTs to work like taxonomies, where you can kind of group your various pieces of content into a taxonomy, but it would actually be a custom post type. Kind of neat, kind of cool idea. I don't know, you know, it's something I've haven't had a chance to really play with in depth, but it's intriguing. You know, so I like seeing people use stuff like this, like using CPTs where. More so than just on making a movie CPT. Like, they're using it for something that's kind of out, you know, outside the box, so to speak. So it's kind of neat. Check it out.
That has been bookmarked.
Yeah.
I like it.
Booyah.
We'll have a look. Dre, you have a spotlight pick, whatever we're calling it.
We didn't do any shameless plugs all episodes, so I've got to do one.
I want you to.
Okay. Security. So, for today, I'll be plugging Securi. Just briefly, we released today server-side scanning capabilities that we did not do or use before. So what it does is it actually increases our capabilities to actually find things like backdoors and stuff that aren't easily trackable remotely, because they typically contain command and control things like communication scripts and so on, but not necessarily malware. So we just dropped a blog post on that. If you go check blog.security.net, and you'll find more info on how awesome it is.
I saw that come through. I'm glad you mentioned it. It seems how long? What kind of time does it take to implement a feature like that to Securi? Like how long has that been on the roadmap?
We've been working on it for a few months.
Okay, so yeah, that's a big day.
Well, we actually put it into beta on a couple of the monitors, which are housing, you know, a few thousand different customers over the last month, and have been doing testing with them and released it now to all of our users. So,
Tony said, "Hey, buddy, can you put this random file on your website?" And I'm like, "Okay." So I threw it out there. He's like, "Yeah, working good."
Well,
nice.
Sure, why not? I'll throw this on my website. Why not?
Brad, is that it's opt-in. It's not something that you're required to do. It does add a level of accuracy on certain things that are scanners. It's just not possible for remote scanners to check for, but it is an opt-in feature.
That's great. I mean,
it's up to you to
put
do
it on
you.
There. I, Yeah, I kid. I put it on there. Tony asked me to put it on there to beta test it out. I threw it up on my blog, and you know, luckily everything checked out, so I was clean, and it worked really well. So you're right; it does certainly open up a lot more of the scanning opportunities for you guys.
Well, the exciting thing about it,
and of course, I trust Tony. Of course,
you know, if we find a new, it's really intuitive in terms of finding new variations to existing scripts and issues that are going on because it is server side. And when something like that is found and we vet it and we go ahead and put it into our signature set and so on, we're able to get that out to every user using that instantly so that they're protected against it. So it's a your site is helping other sites get clean now. I think that that's a pretty exciting concept, and it'll help a lot of people down the road just by opting into it.
Shakuri's. Is it like Shakuri's server-side scanning? Is that what we're calling it?
Shakuri Shakurity. That's the name.
Shakuri.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Wow. Sounds very much like Kismet, the way the Kismet works, where everything that comes in is just teaching the system way to kind of deal with it. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That sounds exactly like how the Terminator worked, too, you know? So,
but the Terminator got his ass whooped by I'm Catman.
Oh my! I'm gonna quickly go to my pick. Mm-hmm. My pick is, so I've been kind of collecting all of the BB Press specific plugins that I can this week. So last week I did a lot of stuff with P2. This week I've been paying attention to BB Press plugins because I like plugins made for other themes or plugins. And this one is called BB Press, specific to the BB Press plugin, BB Press Short Code Whitelist. And so BB Press by default, because basically anybody registered on your site can post to it from the front end, it defaults to not allowing shortcodes to your site. And this is just a simple whitelist plugin that allows you to designate safe shortcodes. Obviously, you don't want to enable shortcodes across the board because there are probably a lot of shortcodes you've got running on your site that you don't want people to be able to use. And this allows you to just kind of create a simple list of here are the ones that are okay. It also has some cool developer documentation for if you have a plugin that creates a shortcode, you can kind of mark it as a safe plugin or as a safe shortcode, I should say.
Sure.
So there's some cool stuff there. So that's my, of the ones that I've been looking at, that's the one that I saw. And I was like, I definitely like this one. So cool stuff.
Very nice.
Now, John, do you have any sort of pick or spotlight or whatever we're calling them this week?
Well, you know, I'll give you two, but one of them, apparently you guys are
Go Kings!
Go Kings, go! Sorry.
My spotlight. Yeah, tomorrow night, if you need me, I will be on my couch pretty much hammered.
Before you go into that, John, I told this to Brad last night in chat. In fact, when they scored, the second goal in the third period there, I tell Brad, you know, I think that John just completely—he just freaked out and jumped off his couch here. I hope he makes it tomorrow. So, anyway, go ahead.
Like I said, if the Kings don't win, John will riot.
What are we talking about?
We talk about you a lot when you're not around. We just kind of, you know, hey, you know, let's talk about John a little bit.
I get this a lot. John happens to me everywhere I go, I swear to God. You guys talked about it a little bit, but I'm going to touch on it because I only just learned about it this week. Shane Sanderson turned me on to Infinite WP. Mm-hmm. I've been using it this week, and it is pretty sick. It's a great way of, especially if you manage a lot of client sites, plugins, themes, you basically install the software locally, and you add a helper plugin on each of your client's site, and then you can update all of the plugins and all of the themes from one central dashboard. And I have been loving that this week. It's been pretty sweet. So there's that. And in a non-WordPress, I just started using Asana.com project management. Did you guys check that out? It's free.
How do you spell that? Asana?
Asana. I'll put it in the chat here in a second.
Osama?
Beat you to it.
Oh, there you go. Asana. Boom, right Osama. There. I started using that this week, and it'll let you include up to like 30 users for free, and then after that it's like $100 a month. But I'm not really a big fan of Basecamp, sorry Brad, and I really like this.
That's why I mentioned Redmine. That's where we're looking to go in that way, which is open source and GPL, so we're trying to get off of Basecamp.
Gotcha. Yeah, so are we. Asana's pretty sweet. If you've never used it, I would at least check it out. So not necessarily specifically WordPress, but, you know, since I actually run a WordPress-related company, a little higher up, this is the shit that I deal with on a daily basis. This is my life, project management.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yep. All right.
Oh, and Go Kings Go.
And Go Kings Go. I think that might end up being the episode title. We'll have to find out.
Yes. My work here is done.
I'll tell you what, your SEL is going to be fire with that one there, Ryan.
Oh, we gave up on that fight a long time ago. Well, thanks to everybody in the chat room. And if you're listening this, then maybe check us out on iTunes. Give us a review. That's how people will find us if they're searching for WordPress-related stuff. Everybody on Twitter, we can get John at Vegas Geek, which you definitely should be following if you're interested in WordPress stuff at all. Besides, you'll probably run into him at a WordCamp in the future, so it's best to have that covered first, right? You want to be following the person, be like, oh yeah, I know who you are. Let's see, anything else we need to mention? We do have, we do want to kind of read off things like iTunes reviews and comments, and we do have a voicemail line that I'll put into the show.
We just need reviews and comments.
We
so
just need them.
Give us
we
them.
Desire them so much. And otherwise,
I have a last thing to add. WordCamp New York, track me down, buy me a beer. It's my birthday, so.
Oh yeah. Hey, buy them too, especially on Friday night before at 6 in the morning. It's going to be good times.
You can buy him two beers. But,
not Friday, Saturday.
But please watch after him as well.
If you buy him a beer, like, does that like put you as part of his keeper, like crew?
It's a binding agreement. If you buy me a beer, then you are responsible for me that night.
What happens
so
if they buy you shots?
Make sure you're ready for that. Oh, well, shit. Yeah, if I drink a bunch of shots, no one's, you know. Everyone starts disappearing.
Where'd Brad go? All right.
He's naked on the bar. It's cool.
If you're in the chat room, stick around. We'll cut to the after show now. And next week, we should be back to the regularly scheduled Wednesday night. And we'll hear more about Blog World and other stuff going on this weekend and WordCamp
guys,
in New York City.
Always a pleasure. John, great to have you, bud. And as a SoCal kid, go Kings, go, baby.
Thanks for having me, guys. I had a great
time.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks again, everybody, and we'll catch you next week on WP Late Night.
Ooh.